Hi, this is Ken Arnold from the Night Watchman, and you are listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 222, and I see the number. My name is Kevin.
I'm Simon, very jovial.
I'm Daniel.
I'm the intern, and I just finished mowing the lawn.
Was it a pretty hot day to mow the lawn?
Well, not at 8:45 at night.
How could you see where you were cutting?
Because it was still light out here.
Oh, okay.
I gardened for a good few hours today, so I have a little bit of a sunburn, and I thought light was pretty good till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we looked at it yesterday, but it was raining, so.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it really rained.
It's good. Helped my grass a lot. I was quite happy with that.
Yes.
I have a question for you guys before we actually get into reviews. Do you guys struggle sometimes in the summer to catch up with the amount of releases being distributed?
Yeah. Like, already, I haven't seen Detective Pikachu. I haven't seen, like, a bunch of them.
Yeah, the only one I think I'm missing, like, I haven't seen Booksmart that just came out. I haven't seen Pikachu yet. I'm like, and I'm already started. I'm like a month into the summer, and I feel I'm already behind.
I'm always behind, though.
Yeah, I find I have to be selective with theatrical releases. I mean, I did see Endgame, and I saw John Wick, Godzilla.
Yeah, see, like, I'm the one who only goes to the theater. Like, I won't watch a cam. I'll wait until it's on DVD. So that's why I get behind, personally.
Mm-hmm. I just get busy with life. I got a question. Did you guys... If Game of Thrones' final episode was in a movie theater, would you guys have gone?
No.
I would have gone, but I would have been mad.
Kevin?
You mean this season of Game of Thrones? Or?
Last episode of this season of Game of Thrones. It was pretty monumental a couple weeks ago.
Last episode ever.
Well, I mean, I think of this season as kind of an epilogue. This last episode is an epilogue wrapping up the series. So I would... probably not want to go see it in a movie theater. I'm happy to watch it at home.
Okay. Because I was just thinking in my head, remember they had those Doctor Who Christmas specials they did in movie theaters?
Yeah.
So I was just wondering why they didn't do this.
Now, I would love to see a Game of Thrones movie theater, like, reunion specials from, like, they could do that every year. They could do, like, hey, what's happening with Arya on her trip to the Westeros?
Well, haven't they set that up with Arya for, like, a sequel or a continuation of the storyline?
Yeah, there are no sequels planned. It's all prequel stuff.
For now.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, in a couple years, they could say, hey, what's happened with Jon Snow? Where is he?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, can we say the same thing about John Wick? Where's John Wick going to be in 2 years?
Well, we know where he's going to be. It'd be like chapter 5, killing people.
That's a body.
Now, before we really get in the heart of John Wick 3, I guess my big question is, how many assassins live in New York City?
Well, based on the movies, everybody's a member of the secret society that is not really a secret. Everybody's an assassin, potentially.
And I think that's the point of it, that it's like you always have to keep you always have to look over your shoulder because everyone's after you.
Yeah.
I'll get to the cast, I guess.
Perfect. Yes.
John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum, starring Keanu Reeves, Halle Berry, Ian McShane, Lawrence Fishburne, Asia Kate Dillon, Lance Reddick, and Jessica Huston, Jerome Flynn, and Saeed Tagmahoe.
Still discussing people I don't care about? Okay.
Well, Jerome Finn's the guy on Game of Thrones, that's Bronn. So speaking of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a surprise, but yeah.
Yeah, it was weird to see him out of sight of Bronn.
I want you a dog.
Give me a dog. Okay, I'll shoot your dog. I can't catch your dog.
So what did you think of John Wick 3, Kev? Bob, I don't think you saw this, right?
Nope. I was too busy falling on a fence.
If I were to sum up, I thought it was long in the tooth. I was kind of bored towards the end. I thought the first hour, we know at the end of 2, he's been excommunicado. He's now basically anybody could kill him and there's no compensation, and he has no help, in theory. No one can help him, or they could suffer the same punishment. So he's basically on the loose in New York City with his dog, and everybody could potentially kill him. So we get basically, so he puts the dog in a cab and sends him over to the hotel and says, here, let the concierge take care of him. And then he proceeds to kill everybody who tries to attack him using whatever is at hand.
Yep.
And like a book.
And it's like, it's almost like going to the ballet. It's like a ballet of death where you see everything and anything killing people. I mean, he runs by a horse. That horse is now a weapon.
Yeah.
It's fast and it's going to kill the guy. You know, he goes in, somehow it goes into a room where there's like antique knives and so forth. So he and these guys are just tossing knives at each other and he's grabbing them, sticking them in people's heads, all sorts of fun stuff. It's loud, very loud, a lot of sound effects like crunching, bone crushing, and it was actually, I felt really good. And there were a lot of, I saw it with an audience, so there was a lot of, like grimacing and noise making and cheering and, you know, clapping and stuff like that. All the things you want to go to a movie for. And then it just kind of meanders for a while. And there's some good fights at the end, but, and then someone does something which is kind of confusing, and you're left to wonder, how is this going to go into chapter 4?
I 100% agree with you. I thought the action was quite nice. I had a few issues with the Lawrence Fishburne character, the way they dealt with that issue.
Yeah.
And I thought the Halle Berry scene was really well. I like the action.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just didn't enjoy Halle Berry, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, she was kind of phoned in as a cameo.
Yeah.
But sort of like the phone there.
I thought she was badass.
She trained for 5 months, so.
And it shows.
Yeah, it does.
And like
show.
All the choreography with their dogs and stuff, that was cool. And like when she apologizes, like, oh, sorry, like it's my dog. He's like, I know. I forgot what he says, but he's like, yeah, I understand. I get it.
I just thought it was kind of weird. We had to go through that whole desert sequence to get to the moment that things kind of work out.
Yeah, that could have been like, okay, like maybe he's not in the middle of the desert and he could, yeah, come to you, but I guess he's an elder. He's not, you have to come to him if you want it.
Hey, why you know like Michael Jackson? That guy being the elder was kind of funny.
I just thought it was weird because the guy said, well, he may come, he may not. I'm like, well, he has to come. It's a movie. I got it.
Right.
Yeah. So like what if it, I would have been mad if it just ends in the desert because he doesn't come and John Wick just dies in the desert. Like, wait.
And I just, I want to get to a little bit, the fight with Mark Dukas at the end, I thought should have been better.
Now that was the main kind of villain?
Yes, that's Mark Dukas.
Okay, I didn't mention his name in the cast. Okay.
I know. You mentioned some random people I've never heard of.
Well, I mean, I forgot about him.
I did like the scene when they have to get better ammo. I need better ammo. They open up, get shotguns instead.
Yeah.
The armor-piercing bullets. I quite enjoyed that scene. I thought that worked. I mean, as I said, it's the same movie over and over again. I did think it added more of the storyline. Not a lot, but it works for me. I don't need to know anything about John Wick. I couldn't care less. I like this universe.
Like a Russian ballet thing. Like, I thought, like, that was fine, you know? Just yeah. Seeing Angelica Huston. Yo, the I don't know what it is about fingernails, but, like, when the ballet dancer took off her toenail, like, that was, like, worse for me than, like, half of the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, yeah, I thought it was interesting learning about it, and, like, I thought all the characters, like, helping him, even though not supposed to, like, played a good part, like, for the flow of the story. And I like the action a lot. I've never really liked the villains that much in these movies. But I thought, like, the Asian guy, the Kyuza kind of guy, was better than the, because the one in the second one was just annoying.
Yeah.
And then, And I thought the girl representing the High Table was, like, interesting, too.
I liked her. I actually wanted more of her.
Yeah,
I wanted to do something.
I wanted to see her fight.
Yes. I was hoping.
Maybe in the fourth one.
So maybe you guys can help me. There's a $14 million hit on John Wick, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
If I kill John Wick, do I get 14 mil?
Oh, yes. So someone outside of the society kills him?
Yeah. Like, John Wick's walking down the street. I'm not in the assassins. I just shoot him for the sake of it.
What if you just hit him with a car?
Yeah, or I hit him with my car, because that's quite possible.
Well, I think you'd have to be a member of the society to do it.
Okay.
To collect.
Okay, so, like, if you're just a random person, you get in prison instead of getting $14 million.
Yeah, I guess.
That feels bad.
And now I have another question. How do these people know John Wick's worth $14 million? They get a text on their phone?
Yeah, they get the text when they're, like, when he's excommunicado, like, that woman's, like, doing all the paperwork, and then she's, like, counting down, and then she, yeah, sends the text out. So, like, all the assassins.
So I have to have my phone on 24/7.
I think they do to make sure they catch all the big contracts coming out. And I guess, like, most of the contracts seem to come out at, like, 6 p.m. when they excommunicado him.
But you know what I mean? This is a lot of work. Like, how many people do I have to kill to keep employed in this? Like, we have a whole city of assassins. Who are they supposed to be killing?
Whole world of assassins.
Right. So how many people, like, are people taking these guys out at the same time?
Well, I think it's more of, like, not necessarily all assassins, but some are criminals. It's like the underworld. They're involved in a whole bunch of shady stuff. Stealing cars and...
Yeah. Yeah, like, in the first one, yeah. I thought the dynamic, though, like, near the end, I guess, spoiler, was, like, just making the hotel not a safe haven anymore. I thought that was really cool.
No, but it's back to that again. They solve that problem by the end.
Right. Yeah. Well, because of... just weird, like, mean character betrayals, yeah.
I need guns. Lots of guns.
Yeah.
Just can't be that too.
Yeah. I really liked it. I don't know where it would stand, like, in the ranking of the three so far, but I enjoyed it.
And this is my last question. Who prints this gold money, or coins? It's gold, right? They're handing out?
Well, it wasn't it bronze.
Factory, yeah.
Yeah, Bronn was showing them, like, oh, this is the first coin manufactured here.
Bronn of the Blackwater. His place makes the coins.
Okay. So who pays them money to make the coins?
The High Table.
The High
elders.
Table.
Though. Yeah. Oh, yeah, High Table and then the Elders, yeah.
I still have more questions. So okay. The High Table, where do they get their money from?
The Elders.
They're super rich.
Okay.
Criminal.
So, okay, got it. That's all. They're super rich. I'll accept that. No problem. See, these are all my questions.
So, basically, if you're part of the society, you kick up.
Okay, so it's like the mob. Part of you,
yeah, it is the mob. It's like a unified mob where all of the mobs pay into an upper level of management. So that, like, the Italian mob, the Russian mob, the Italian mob, although I think I said that already, but, like, the Irish mob, you know, like, all sorts of different groups... criminal groups, they all have seats at the High Table.
Yeah, because there's, like, what, like 9 or 10 of them?
Yeah.
But I think that was, like, covered more in the second one.
Yeah.
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 And so the Italian mob family that sits at the High Table, they've got Wick to like, the brother, one brother put out a hit on his sister.
Yes.
And then, but he made it to the High Table, but Wick killed him out of revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's why I didn't like the villain in the second one. It's like, okay, kill my sister, but now I'm going to have to kill you. LOL. Yeah.
And I didn't like that guy anyway.
Yeah, that annoyed me. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was disappointing. But
yeah. See, I like the villains and, like, the story better than the second one. But, like, just all the fight choreography and all, like, the killing, it still feels fresh, I think. Even if it's in the same, like... same contained, similar story. I won't, still.
I didn't like the arbitrator.
No, it didn't.
That really annoying.
No, a little bit whiny.
I'm here to arbitrate, or to whatever it is, adjudicate.
No, wasn't that the High Table girl?
Yes.
He was sent by the High Table to judge and pass
that. Yeah, that's what I wanted to see her fight.
So did I.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a fighter.
No, yeah, she just arbitrates. yeah. I liked I liked it when she was just calling Winston like during it all and he just hangs up.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was kinda good. Like
and the soldiers.
Yeah, and all the shotgun stuff, that's cool.
That was cool. They had upgraded their armor to be basically bulletproof.
Yes.
Like I liked all this culture and I liked seeing like the two guys from the raid. Like being like the mini bosses before he fights the main guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Like I like the fandom that's like, wow, it's great to meet you. I really just want to kill you now. You know.
And Mark Duplass, I don't know, like he's good, but I didn't think he was great in this.
He's not. I was disappointed with him in this one.
Yeah.
Like, I like the villains, but like I like his villain. Villain better than the second one, but I mean that's not saying a lot. I mean he's just like fanboying. I mean I think he's there because like the way he can fight.
The only question I have now is, this is chapter 3. Chapter 4 has been announced. How many freaking chapters are there?
Who cares?
How many?
They could have 28. James Bond keeps going. I'll take more.
There's going to be every year. There's going to be a John Wick chapter.
Yeah, I mean maybe draw the line at 5. Like, I don't know if I can get them. But they just keep making more money each time, like, progressively. So, I don't know.
People are seeing them, so, yeah, why stop? But
yeah.
Listen, Medea movies keep coming out. Why can't I have John Wick movies?
True.
That's true.
And somehow people still keep going out to see Medea.
Bob, did you see this one?
No.
No? Okay.
But there's my argument. I mean, there's something for everybody. If you like Medea movies, go see them. No problems with me. But if I like John Wick movies, keep making them.
Yeah. But just, like, when's the fatigue going to come? Like, I mean, like, Fast and Furious, like, the fatigue's here, but yeah.
I found myself checking the watch a lot. At this one, towards the end, I was like, okay, when is this going to end, and how is this going to end in such a way that it's not going to resolve? I kept asking myself, when was this going to end? It just dragged. I thought the last third was...
I could see
that. Yeah. 2 hours 10, but it felt like 2.5. It's never going to end.
Hey, I agree. It just took a little bit while to get there. I'm like, okay, let's get this over with. Let's get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I get it. Everybody's after him. Got it. Okay, you did that in the first hour. Another hour and a half of this. Okay. I still like the film. I'm still ready for the fourth one. Bring it on.
Question. I have a question. Why did the arbitrator never go visit the doctor? Because he did have the two bullet wounds in him. Because when she was in Chinatown, I thought she was seeing him and not the Dukakis guy.
Maybe there's a cutscene.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Are we moving on, anyway, ladies?
So what's next?
Little, Greta, to all the boys I loved before, take your choice.
I'm asking
the guy that's got the list.
I mean, because, yeah, all the boys I love before, that's Netflix, so that's before the vault, right?
I don't know. I'm not in charge.
What's
the next one? I'm in charge. Wait.
Pick a movie. Yeah, Little?
Yeah, we'll do Little. Starring, I don't really know, Regina Hall, Issa Rae, Marseille Martin. I don't know if you guys noticed anyone else, but...
No, I'm good.
I didn't see it.
Bob, your start.
I saw it.
And
that was it.
You have nothing to say about Little?
No.
Okay, I have lots to say about Little. I thought it was kind of a weird take on Big, that they make her Little. Like, it was weird. Like, one of her the food truck guy brings his kid to work day kind of thing. And she pulls this magical spell on Regina Hall, who's not exactly the nicest person you've ever met. And makes her little, like a little kid. But she still knows she's a big kid.
Well, so did Tom Hanks and Big.
So the whole film is her discovering how to become back big. So she goes back to her old school. She lives in her house. She has to run her company. But she doesn't run it. One of her associates does. And that kind of thing. She's supposed to be redeeming herself by the end of the film. I would argue she doesn't redeem herself. The only thing she has going for her, on the signpost at the end of the film, she puts her initial, whatever the company's name is, I can't remember, in the little bottom, and associates. She's still miserable. I don't think she improves as a character in any way, and I think it's just they needed to wrap it up. I still don't like her by the end. I don't think she's likable. I mean, she made fun of all her employees' ideas consistently, even when she was little. Because that was her problem. She had this guy that needed an app, and she had to develop the app. And every time they gave her an idea, they told her it was, she said, that's crap, that's crap. Well, of course, one of the ideas turns out to be the biggest app ever. But I don't think she really helped the woman fulfill it, right? Because she had no choice, so they had to go with it, even though she said no to about 50 times. So I think if you're going to make this film and make it for kids, make it relatable in some way, kids. Even when she goes back to school, she's still mocked. And she takes a hit for the kids she makes friends with, if that makes sense.
But the kids that she became friends with, they visited her at the work at the end, and she got along with them. Like, she got, never mind.
Because she felt that she helped them out. But I don't think she really did. Because they still were treated like crap for the most part.
But she got the guy that sang. He was too nervous to sing, but he sang in front of the class, and he was actually good.
Oh no, great! But I still don't think she's a good person. By the end of the film,
she pushed him to do it.
She did, which was great. He found some confidence in himself. But she's still not a good person by the end of this film.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that. I saw some things that made her a little better than what she was at the start.
Those things would be?
I don't remember now.
Fair enough. Yeah, I know you saw it a while ago. I'm a little behind on this one for you. So.
Did it seem like she was like doing these things to be a better person, or just to become big again?
Just to become big again.
Okay.
Yep. Here we go.
Sorry, Bob, you were saying?
No, sorry, I was just trying to prompt.
No, I really felt the story and everything didn't work for me. It didn't work on any levels. And I always get the argument from Bob saying I should, so I watched it with my daughter. And she came out of this and goes, terrible, Dad. This woman learned nothing. So I go, it wasn't me that just felt that way. My daughter, who's this age group the film's designed for, felt the same way. And that always makes me feel better. When we come out of a film and we kind of agree. So I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Okay. A little crazy.
Oh, yeah, I'm very crazy. Speaking of crazy, let's discuss Greta.
Okay. Greta, starring Chloe Grace Moretz, Isabelle Huppert. I don't do French. Micah Monroe, Colm Feore, and Stephen Ray.
Dan?
Yeah?
You can start.
Did you want to start? I saw this like 2 months ago.
Sure, I'll start. I think this film starts off fantastic. I really like the layers it builds at the beginning. Like the relationship it sets up, the way they meet, I thought was very unique. True. And then it just sort of gets a little bit Fatal Attraction-y at times.
That was the idea, though.
And then it goes a little bit Abduction by the end. I was kind of like, okay. And then I had some suspension of disbelief issues near the end.
Okay.
I thought the detective takeout was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, he should just tell them that, oh, this is where she lives when she finds her.
I thought that, but I did like the very end of the film with the friend finding her. I thought that was great.
Yeah, did you
with the friend, she says, oh, I'm an actress. And you know what I've learned? And then the woman realizes what she's doing.
I
knew it was Michael Monroe because I know her voice.
Yeah.
So I quite like that. I mean, parts of this film I really liked, and parts of this film I didn't. I had an issue with Greta letting her back in after the restaurant scene.
Isabel sort of insinuated herself into her life.
Absolutely.
Right. It wasn't her. It wasn't Greta that wanted her there. She was Greta. Which one was it?
Yeah, which one is Greta again?
Greta's Isabel Huppert.
Yeah, and then Francis is Chloe Grace Moretz.
Correct. Sorry, my bad.
No, you're good. I just couldn't remember.
Okay. Francis doesn't want her in her life, but she keeps like getting closer and closer at the end, and then she kidnaps her.
Yeah, because like she sticks like bubble gum, but she wants her bubble gum back. Yeah, I like the dynamic of it. Like, I was just flipping that, like, oh, Greta's, like, convinced that she doesn't have a mom. She can be the mom. And I just thought that was, like, an interesting dynamic, like, other than usually how, like, the stalking is sexual. And this one's just motherly. It doesn't make it better that it's stalking still, but I thought that was, like, an interesting dynamic.
I think,
but,
actually, Francis called Greta's daughter, who says, no, wait a minute.
Wasn't Greta's daughter's dead?
Yeah, so she meets with a friend or, like, the girlfriend
lover,
or something.
Lover.
Right.
Yeah.
This woman's crazy. Don't let her in.
Well, that's the part I thought she was going to come back somehow. And she never does.
Yeah.
I thought for sure we might get some follow-up with her or maybe get Greta trying to take her out or something along that lines.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, they lock her in that room, but at the end you see that the lock quivering, so she's trying to get out.
Yeah, with the piano thing, yeah. Yeah, I thought sometimes it dragged, like the fact that she was like locked up for 40 minutes at the end was just weird for pacing.
Yes.
But I thought it was interesting, how at the beginning she was like, oh, shut up, roommate, and I thought like, oh, she probably has someone in there, doesn't she? And then you find out that she says the same thing, like when she's trying to recruit Micah Monroe, and then she's like, "Nah, bitch, not today." She takes off the wig, so that was pretty good. Like, I like the ending. Some of the pacing though wasn't great,
yes,
but
I agree.
I thought it was really like, I think the best part about it for me was the acting. I thought it was really well acted.
I thought so too. I was quite impressed with Micah Monroe and the thing. I do again. Let's go back to this detective. He says he's good at what he does, right? He clearly states that. He knows where Greta is. Why does he go in? I know. Just to have a conversation and see if she's there? He knows she's there.
Horror movie decision, I guess, even though it's not really traditional horror. Just a stupid. Because, she's just an old lady. It'll be fine,
even though
she knows
tea?
That she's insane.
If you know she's insane, if you made that decision, we kind of get that impression. Why are you drinking the stuff she gives you?
Honestly, I think that was just
movie magic.
Poor writing. That she's still gonna be there, and they're just trying to be like, oh, it's gonna end really, really dark until they just pull the wool and bring Micah in.
Yeah, I agree.
She seems to find her after 2 months because the handbag thing that she keeps doing.
Yeah, I like the line that says, "You know how many effing handbags I've looked for on trains."
Yeah, I thought that was a great line. She gets them into her life is interesting.
So she could find Greta. I thought that was a perfect line that she states how long she's been looking for it.
Yeah, that was really good.
I thought
the dynamic was interesting that she's looking for a daughter and she thinks she's looking for a mom, but not really.
Yeah, I don't know why her dad, I don't know, it just seems weird. Because Greta got upset because she didn't go away. That's where this all started. Remember, she's supposed to be packing to go away and she doesn't? I
tried to trick her because she didn't want to tell her she was going.
My internet's back. Are we going on to the next one?
Yeah, let's go on to the next one.
Okay. Sorry, I missed half that conversation, my bad.
So
should we... No, okay, let's just do A Dog's Way Home and go back to the crazies in the next one.
Sure.
A Dog's Way Home, starring Bryce Dallas Howard as the annoying dog, Ashley Judd, Jonah Howard King, Alexandra Shipp, and Edward James Olmos.
Bob, did you see this one?
No.
Oh, lucky you.
I've told you what I've seen when I text you.
No, my mistake. I had you on the list of seeing it. I'll start this one fine. Painful.
You should pay attention to the text.
Painful. I can't describe it any other way than... I know it's a family film. I accept it's a family film. This dog makes more poor decisions than anything I think. Like, the whole beginning of the film is they teach the dog, whatever the dog's name is, go home.
Bella,
go home.
And she's really bad at going home.
She has no idea. And they finally train her. Then the bad dog catcher shows up and she can't go home?
Yeah.
Because his dog is deemed a menace? Really?
Yeah, like the pit bull mix is like integral to the plot, and it's just very Beethoven, like with the dog catcher.
I've never seen Beethoven, so.
Oh, okay. And then like the whole like standoff near the end, like, oh, we gotta take that dog. Wait, this is Colorado, or I don't know what, whatever state, whatever how they ever got out of it. But basically, like, the dog trying to get home, and the one thing that makes me mad, for, like, the writing, is that if she just would have waited an hour, they would have found her, and she wouldn't have been gone for, like, 2 years trying to get her way back home.
And this is based on a true story, I thought.
It would be a bad true story, is it? No, it's based on a book.
A book, right? Okay. But remember when she's hanging out with Big Cat?
Big Cat?
I mean...
Yeah.
How stupid is this dog? Okay, dogs are supposed to have good sense of smell. Am I correct here?
Yeah, I think.
It would tell you, that's not a cat.
It's a jaguar, right?
It's a jaguar. The jaguar would have eaten that dog.
Yeah, but it's a family movie. If it was realistic, yeah, it would have eaten the dog.
And they keep picking up the dog and bringing it closer, and something happens, and the dog has to keep moving on. I'm like, yeah. I could barely stay awake during this. It was just so boring.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I know you don't watch trailers, but if you saw the trailer, you would have watched it in 2 minutes. Watched the entire movie in 2 minutes.
So you see the dog not go home
and you see the dog, like, reuniting, basically. Like, the only thing not in the trailer is the whole, like, dog catcher thing and why she, like, because, like, in the movie, it's like, oh, like, they're trying to move and get her back, so, like, because she's a pit bull. But in, like, yeah. In the trailer, it's like, oh, she just runs away home because she's stupid. I mean, she is stupid, but...
Makes just... And the narration of the dog drove me... Bryce Dallas Howard was driving me nuts.
I really like Bryce Dallas Howard, but... And this is... It's nails on the chalkboard.
It's
like,
not her. It's just the constant talking about nonsense. Like, ooh, look at the green grass. Ooh, look at the fish in the water. Look at that guy trying to catch the fish. Oh, shut up. I can't take it anymore.
Her thoughts are so obvious, and it's just like, oh, I need to get back to Ethan. I need to get back to Ethan. I need to go home.
I need
Rebella,
to go
remember,
home.
Go home. Like, at least in The Dog's Purpose, Josh Gad is like, he's hyperactive, so he's convincing. He's kind of convincing as a dog.
I agree.
But her, it's just so like, oh, obvious thought. I must go home. And it's just like, don't do voice acting again, Dallas. Bryce.
It's like she's reading a kid's book.
That's a good point. Yeah, she has definitely like the voice that will just be like reading to a classroom.
Yes.
And that's not fun for an hour and a half.
I agree.
It's boring, the characters are bad, and like, it's not a good movie, and she takes so long to go home. And like the whole, I mean, the tiny piece of cheese thing.
Oh.
Tiny piece of cheese. If she says it again, I'm going to scream.
Oh, what would I do for a tiny piece of cheese? And in the end of the movie, this has got to be the worst writing I've ever seen. I'm in the Marines, blah, blah, blah. I'm Air Force, blah, blah, blah.
I'm Spartacus.
Yeah, that's all it was. And you know what? In Colorado, this isn't Colorado property. This is federal land. You can't have this dog.
And like, the fact that they bring a sheriff in just to get a dog is like, wait. Like, she doesn't... Like, and then like the dog has just like, oh my god, this is my Moby Dick after 2 years. I need to get her.
And it's a vicious dog.
Yeah.
And so, Kevin, you want to hear how this wraps up?
Oh, please do.
Oh, let me tell you, they fired the dog catcher. The guy's like, we've had a lot of complaints about you. You're out of here.
He's like, wait.
And the dog goes home.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, the whole story with, like, the kittens under the house, and it's, like, all about, like, gentrification, like, that kind of thing.
And the dog gets its little piece of cheese.
Yay!
You want to watch me throw up? This is probably the best way to watch this again.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw up a little tiny piece of fucking cheese.
Yeah, please.
And like the fact that like the fact that the teenage owner is like interchangeable with like the own like Ethan and A Dog's Purpose. like the writer of these story like books are just it's the same formula and it's really bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't have. It made me mad. I'm getting a bit. I've seen this like four, I saw this like 4 months ago, and it's, it still has me a little heated.
See, I didn't, didn't forget it though.
Well, I kind of looked at the review I wrote that I never posted, but yeah. Oh. I remember, like, my hatred for it.
Hold on. You wrote a review, so you spent time on this movie, and you didn't post it?
I'm bad at posting.
It's called a button that says post. You hit it.
But you gotta do, like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, motivation. Anyway.
And where is your website, Dan? Because if somebody was interested in finding it.
Filmcraziest.wordpress.com.
Thank you.
Okay. I haven't posted since September.
Move along.
Okay, another crazy movie, Unsane, starring Claire Foy, Joshua Leonard, Jay Farrell, and Juno Temple.
Now, here's a movie I saw when it came out. So, however long ago it came out, I watched it.
So, I can lead on this one.
Thank you.
Because this was last year, and I just saw it, like, 2 weeks ago. Basically, Claire Foy's character, she's having visions of her stalker, like, following her to a new city. And so she goes to a mental health facility to get checked out about it, just to talk to someone. And then, like, the doctor there is like, oh, wait, you're thinking about suicide? And she kind of tricks her into signing a contract that puts her in there for, like, at least, like a 24-hour overnight stay. And she's just going crazy in there, and then they eventually get her for, like, 7 days. And it's a whole, like, insurance thing. And she's convinced that the stalker followed her all the way to this mental hospital, and he has a job there. So, yeah, that's the premise of it. I liked it. I thought it was, like, a good thriller. I don't know if I'd watch it again, though, because it really made me anxious. But I think that's the point of it. I thought the structure was good for just a very confined story of just her in the mental facility and trying to get out. And I thought it was like, because you don't know if it's actually the stalker or if that's just all in her head. And I thought that was like the point of the movie. So I thought that was good. I thought the writing was pretty good on this.
I love the writing on this. I thought it was really well done. I really didn't know where this film was going a lot of the time. And it had me convinced of the stalker thing. 100% it was fictional. Can't deny that. It had me convinced that it was all that. And I couldn't figure out how it was going to end at that point. And then they throw you that bone and it totally flips the whole movie over.
Yeah, I was convinced it was just probably in her head until she went to the mom's house.
Yeah.
To the mom's, like, apartment. And then he was switching the pills.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that this was the Josh and Blair Witch Project either until, like, I looked up halfway through.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like Blair Witch Project. I'm going to get
into that. Oh, I hate Blair Witch Project.
Oh, good. Somebody else hates it as much as I do. Thank you.
It's just, I mean, I know it's fear of the unknown, but it's pointless.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, I think I agree with almost all your points. I think it's a good watch. I think it was filmed on an iPhone too, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is the first one that Soderbergh did on the iPhone. And then the second one was that Netflix High Flying Bird one about the basketball agent.
Which I have a lot of problems with, so. No, I think Claire Foy does a good job in this. It's the first time I've really seen her because I don't watch The Crown.
Yeah, I think I saw her in another movie, but yeah, I don't. Yeah, this was. I don't watch The Crown either, but I forget what other one it was.
A Spider's Web.
Oh, I never saw that, but yeah, she was in that one too.
She was also in First Man.
Oh, that's the one I said. That was the first time I saw her. Yeah, First Man.
So yeah, I think of the Claire Foy movies I saw, this is my favorite one. And I don't know if I would need to see her much more, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. She doesn't really impress me in anything else.
The Crown is excellent. She's very good as Queen Elizabeth.
There you go. See, Kevin would know. He watches all that stuff. I won't watch it.
I think my only quip was this, but this is that the ending was confusing. But, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, we give you this answer that he was real, but then they just make you doubt it at the end. It's like, wait, what? I don't know.
Okay.
Where did Simon go?
I'm here. Keep going.
Okay. No, I think that's it for my thoughts on this one.
Next.
Okay. We'll do The Nun. Starring Demian Bicker, Tessa Farmiga, Jonas Blokit, Bonnie Arians, Patrick Wilson for like a minute, and Vera Farmiga for a minute, and then Ingrid Bisou.
So in The Conjuring 2, we learn that the demon Malik had taken the form of a nun and was haunting Vera Farmiga's character based on the demon hunter I can't remember the name.
Lorraine Warren, I think.
Yeah, Lorraine Warren. So there's a very effective scene in The Conjuring 2 where she's alone in her study and this picture lights up of this evil-looking nun. And that evil-looking nun shows up at the end and is basically the villain of that film. So they decided, well, we must do the story of how this all began. So they go to a monastery. Where was it? Transylvania or Romania or something like that?
Transylvania.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. I mean, it was, and it involves a nun. There's a good nun, and she has special abilities.
Yeah, it's Tessa Farmiga's character.
Yeah, she hangs out with a priest, and then this young guy who's from, what, Ireland or somewhere like that?
He's Canada.
That's right.
French Canada, Frenchie.
Right. And he's like their driver, and so they go there to one monastery, and all the nuns were dead there, but they go back, and their nuns are alive again. And they're ghosts, essentially, haunting the monastery. So, I don't know. I mean, it was okay. Like, it could have been far worse, but it wasn't particularly exciting or scary.
Yeah, and they all talked to only Tessa Farmiga.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just... I think just for The Conjuring, they should just stick to true stories, because they obviously can't make... the first, try it fiction, just making it up totally wasn't very good.
Well, we've done, a couple of Annabelle movies now, right, too?
Oh, true. That's fiction. Yeah, that's true. But the second one is actually good, Annabelle Creation. I like that one.
I haven't seen that. But there's a new one this summer, right?
Yeah, Annabelle Comes Home.
Mm-hmm. And this one has the Farmigas in it. Fabira and what's his name?
Yeah, Patrick Wilson, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was weird that, the Tessa Farmiga's character, had, the same kind of, psychic thing going on, and she was, also, very Catholic, like Vera Farmiga's character, and, they're just totally unrelated.
So was it know that perhaps they were related somehow?
I thought they might, hint at that, but I don't think they do. Which I thought was, weird, I wasn't sure if they were trying to go, oh, this is her grandma or something, but no.
Right.
Spoiler, but the only thing that, links this to Conjuring, or, how it's the prequel, is that, Valak, puts herself in Frenchie, and then he's the one in the possession video at the beginning of The Conjuring.
Right.
Screaming, yeah, and...
And that's how that demon encounters the Warrens and why they're haunting.
Yeah. And, 50 years later. No, it was 1970, so 20. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a scaredy cat, so, the jumps, but it's all jump scares, so, atmospherically, it's not very scary, but and I think it's just the writing that's just kind of boring.
Armin?
I 100% agree it's a big piece of crap. I never want to see this again.
Yeah.
And I was bored. I didn't understand half of it. I was just bored. It seemed like it was just information dump, jump scare, information dump, jump scare. I'm like, I don't care. And she was an interesting villain. If you're a ghost, do something interesting.
Yeah, like I said, it's just floating at people.
Yeah, I just, it wasn't for me in any way.
Just expect to, hold her freaking picture frame up for her face and just do that the whole movie.
Woo, look at me, woo.
A scary nun.
She wasn't scary to me at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the face is creepy to me, but, like, no. Like, I was like, okay, like, you're not really scaring me.
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Do you feel these movies have run their course? Like, we've had enough? Like, The Conjuring is great.
I think, like, with all the spin-offs, I think it's, like, making the mistake of, like, Lego Movie of doing, like, Batman and then, like, Ninjago 1 and then the second, like, the second Lego Movie comes out, like, after, like, 4 years and it wasn't as good.
I think this is just Conjuring similar. 1 does well, Conjuring 2 does well, so let's do Annabelle, let's do The Nun, let's do this, let's do that.
And then isn't The Curse of La Llorona in this universe too?
No, it is not.
Okay, I heard that it was connected somehow.
If it was, I didn't see how it could be. I watched the film.
Okay.
Files of the Warrens or something?
The Warrens aren't in it, so I don't know how it got connected.
Yeah. Well, after I see it, I'll look up how it is, and we'll talk about it when we do review it.
Okay, I've seen it, so I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. I think the first two Conjurings, like, I'd rather have had a Crooked Man spinoff before this one. But I think they're still wanting to do that one, but I guess people just like the Nun character better.
As long as it's not Slender Man, I'm totally okay.
Oh.
Well, I think they're trying to connect in stuff that isn't, that they could spin off and do stuff with. Like, if they did Amityville, that's already been done a few times. And the Warrens were big.
11 times.
Right. Wait, there's 11 Amityville ones?
There's 11 Amityville horror films, yes.
Holy crap. Are you counting The Awakening, like the new one?
Yes, that's the 11.
Oh, God. Okay. I think we've talked The Nun to the
death.
Yes, yeah. We did.
All right, next.
To All the Boys I've Loved Before, starring Lana Condor, Noah Centineo, Anna Cathcart, Andrew Bachelor, battling Arthur, Janelle Parrish.
All right, seamless. Bob, have you seen any of these movies?
Nope.
I've seen it.
Yeah, just seeing Simon, I think.
I'm going to go back to crunching on my chips and listening to you.
Enjoy.
Okay. Did you want to keep this one?
I'll start it. I really thought it had a nice feel at the beginning.
Okay.
Kind of didn't know where it was going. This is my story. I wrote some letters. I'm like, okay, those are going to get sent out. That just told me ahead of time. And then I'm like, okay, and things happen, and her sister just kind of disappears. Janelle Parrish is gone.
Yeah,
I'm like,
Scotland, yeah.
She goes to Scotland. Let's get rid of her. We don't need her. So we have her, and the letters go out, obviously, and then suddenly she gets on the track, she's running, and the guy comes up to her and said, you like me? What? And they have that whole track scene. I'm like, okay, great. And then the second guy comes up with the letter to the black guy and says, you know, I'm gay. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm sorry I sent you the letter. And the third letter she gets back, and the other two I don't think we ever deal with.
Well, the other cue, the one comes up at the end.
Oh, that's right.
UN guy, yeah.
But I was kind of like, it's just a joke. It just goes right into a basic romance story. You know, they do the contract, and you're like, they're going to fall in love. Like, it's so evident of what's going to happen in this film. I thought it had so much potential. And I just it falls over itself trying to do things that, it doesn't work, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It has the plan to work. It looks like it should work, but it doesn't. And I think the problem is they spend too much time with that first guy she kisses on the track. Peter
Kavinsky.
And it just kind of sits there.
See, I wanted to show you this because I know you didn't like, what was that?
Perfect Date?
Thank you. I wanted to show you, like, that he could be kind of good. Just because I thought it was, for me, like, I know it's, like, predictable, but that's with, like, all romance movies. But, like, I thought it was well written, and I thought it was, like, relatable with, like, how it, like, dealt with, like, her losing the mom, and, like, they're, like, able to talk about that, I guess.
But they don't really talk about it. She talks about it to his family at one point, and he talks about, John Corbett talks about her a couple of times briefly.
Oh, yeah, John Corbett was in this
scene. But it's really not mentioned. You know, well, it's more her trying to figure out.
Well, they talk about it twice, like at the diner, and then, well, like, Laura Jean talked about it to Peter, like, twice. And okay. I thought, like, jumped into it. Like,
a big problem with this film is, and when it says that, you know, you've never had a boyfriend, this and that, I'm like, this chick's attractive.
Yes.
Nobody's ever asked her out. I find that hard to believe.
Well, they point out at one point that, like, oh, this guy asked her to a dance, and she said no. But I think it's just because, like, she just wants to be in this fantasy world of writing love letters, and she's too scared to do it.
And they state that, and I'm kind of like, she's too smart for that, this character. They present her as being too smart. She wrote these letters. Okay, they got sent out, whatever. But, you know, then she enters that contract, and I'm just like, okay. And they go off from there. I'm like, and it's so evident they're in love with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, then do something with that. And then they kind of, oh, she's got to break up with him because of she went to visit his ex-girlfriend. I'm kind of like, really? You guys haven't talked about your love thing. And then that's the whole thing at the end. They're really in love and you find out. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah, I think it's just like all about like miscommunications and stuff. I just thought it was, just the way that she's too scared to do it. I thought that was relatable.
Well, when the other woman gets her scrunchie?
Yeah, because she takes it at the beginning, so I don't know why I just can't say that. she literally stole it from me.
Yeah, and you could have said, she goes, oh, I just want you to know my ex-girlfriend's a biatch. She took her scrunchie. But no, that causes the rift in the film. It's a scrunchie?
Yeah, and I think it's just... I think, I don't know if it's just purely the scrunchie. I think it's just because she has an excuse now to, I think the most relatable thing is like, oh, if it was fake, I never lost anyone. And I think she's just looking for an excuse to get out of it before it becomes real or more real.
But she needs to challenge herself. And that's what her sister comes back for to tell her. Like, she couldn't figure that out herself. She's in high school.
I don't know. Big sister role model. And then like her being in love with the ex. Like, the sister's ex-boyfriend, like, just puts, like, that whole rift between them that she can't talk. So I guess if she was able to talk and no neighbor boyfriend, wouldn't really be a movie.
I just have so many if-ands or buts in this. There's so many things. Like, it's just a basic story other than the letters, and they don't really do much with the letters.
I didn't like how the letters got out. Like, I don't like, I think that's my biggest problem. Like, oh, Kitty just sends them out. I think that's kind of lazy.
Beyond lazy, because Kitty just wanted her to try something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll go back to her. She's attractive enough to try something on her own. She's smart enough to try something on her own.
But I think the point is that she just wants to be in her books, and she doesn't want to do it.
I mean, even the part at the party when the ex-girlfriend's grilling her over what have you done and this and that, I'm like, really? Who cares?
Yeah, I think that's just classic bitchy. Bitchy high schooler.
Yeah, I
don't know, like, as far as, like, the Netflix, I think this is charming. I think as far as, like, the Netflix, like predictable, like, rom-coms, well, this isn't really a com, though. Like, the romantic ones go, like, way better than Kissing, like, 10 times better than Kissing Booth, way better than The Perfect Date. I thought this was a really good one.
I have to agree with you. I think it's better than both those. I'll agree with you. I need a little bit of work on the script. I think it would have been better.
Well, what did you give it, like a 5 out of 10?
I think I gave it a 4.
Okay, I mean, see, for you, that's fine. Yeah, for me, it's like 7-ish.
Okay, to get the letters out, this was my philosophy to get the letters out.
Okay.
They're picking up the boxes to do the cleaning of the room, right?
Yeah.
The little sister picks them up. She puts and goes, oh, and, you know, they fell out of a box. The girl has the boxes. Oh, crap, I didn't want to send this out to Goodwill. And puts it on the ground.
Yeah.
And somehow it gets knocked over by a cat, a dog, whatever, falls off the table. The little sister wandering sees the letter and said, oh, I guess these need to be mailed, and mails them.
So that's how you think it should have happened.
Okay. And that would have worked for me.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Instead of having that whole thing at the end.
Instead of her just being like, ooh, what's in your closet?
Yeah. Because she fell asleep? I just don't see her doing that.
Yeah, because, like, did she know about the letters, or she was just like, oh, what could I do to help my sister? Like, that's that part of it is, like, weak, right?
I agree.
Who's doing the popping noise? Okay, you guys want to, do we have time for...
What was that note, Simon? I didn't see what that was.
There's less than 10 minutes left.
All right, then maybe we should just wrap it up.
Did you guys want to do shampoo or passage India?
No.
Same for the next one.
Okay. Did anybody buy anything?
Buy anything?
Oh.
Yes, let's do, did you buy anything?
I did.
What did you buy?
I went to a yard sale, and this is partial what I picked up. I picked up more than this.
Okay.
The Comancheos with John Wayne, All I Want for Christmas. Westford the Women with Robert Taylor, sounds good. Spencer Mountain with Henry Fonda. The Accused with Jodie Foster. Jacob the Liar with Rob Williams. Stagecoach. Rio Grande, Rainbow Valley, Steven Seagal with Fire Down Under, Green Berets, double feature Flame on the Barbary Coast and Santa Fe Stampede, and Soldier with Kurt Russell, and there were still more.
Wow.
Oh my God. How much were those?
I got about 35 for 15 bucks.
Okay.
So I have a question for you guys before we go.
Either.
You're at a yard sale. Oh, sorry.
Wait. Also, Bob has stuff.
Did you buy stuff?
Go ahead, Bob.
I bought two films, that's all. But it wasn't at a yard sale. Instant Family and Incident Romantic.
Okay, yeah, that just came on DVD recently. I knew that one.
Do you have any codes?
Any what?
Codes.
Any codes
here? I haven't opened them yet, but when I do, I'll send them to you.
Okay.
So...
That would be easy. I also bought Batman vs. the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And it'll be on the next episode for sure.
Okay.
Okay, my question
is... I'll be buying Captain Marvel on Tuesday.
Yuck. How much do you expect to pay for a DVD at a yard sale?
$0.25? Well, wait, 50 cents?
That's what I think, 50 cents.
I guess the first question is, who would ever consider buying a DVD at a yard sale?
Me. 100% me.
Simon would.
Absolutely,
that way. Here we go.
But I think, like, if I was selling in a yard sale, like, I'd probably sell them for, like, what, like, 75 cents? Because, like, for you, for sometimes, like, your value, like, your DVDs, for some reason, have more value. But, yeah, at a yard sale, you probably want to get them for, like, what, 25, 50?
So, you see, I wouldn't sell mine in a yard sale, because I could probably get more money selling them to the used bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah, 75 cents. And so, yeah, if you're going to, the thing is, right, there's, like, yard sale value. Like, I gave my sister-in-law a bunch of paperbacks a while back, and I said, well, I have some paperbacks if you want to put them out in your yard sale. She goes, yeah, I'll put them out for a quarter each. And I'm like, hell no, you won't. They're like $10 books, and they're in good shape. I just don't foresee myself reading them again. I put them out for a buck each. No, this is yard sale. That's not what people spend at yard sales. They want them cheap, and I'm like, well, fuck them, then they don't get it. Cheap motherfuckers. Excuse the language.
Okay, so my last story. So I'm yard sailing on Saturday, and I bought nothing, which is very strange, I know. But I did find some DVDs. I had them in my hand, and I go up to this lady and go, how much are these? She goes, $10. I'm like, pardon? It was like 5 discs. And then I'm like, nope. And I put them down. I started walking away.
Okay.
Then she goes, $5. And then it just poured rain. Like the clouds opened up and dropped. I said, I've got to go, and walked off.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even barter her anymore. I'm like, nope, I'm going. There's nothing here I really need other than a kung fu movie I hadn't seen. I'm like, nope.
Okay.
I did leave a copy of Leaving Las Vegas sitting there because I'd never seen it. I'm like, eh, I don't really care.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched that, I've seen it. We could do that.
Rock Nicolas Cage.
Okay, guys. Before we run over time, let's wrap this up. If they make it...
Re-review it.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, bye.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.